The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 14th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now when Jesus heard about the beheading of John the Baptist, he withdrew from there in a boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them and cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now late. Send the crowds away so that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves." Jesus said to them, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They replied, "We have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples. And the disciples gave them to all of the crowd. And all ate and were filled. And they took up what was left over from the broken pieces, 12 baskets full. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, not counting the women and children. The Gospel of our Lord. Amen. Praise to you, O Christ. All right, so I'm going to turn my volume on, and I'm going to go to the gallery view for me. And I'm going to tell all the kids to come up to the screen and give you permission to unmute yourself to respond to me. If you raise your hand and then just give me an answer. Tell me, what did you want to be when you grew up? What do you want to be when you grow up? Who knows? Go ahead, unmute your screen and tell me. Yep, go ahead. Oh, you got to say it louder. An astronaut. I see another hand in that screen. Tell me. Say it again. A vet. Okay. We'll go on my screen. I'll slide over to the Gerhardts. Go ahead and tell me. What do you want to be when you grow up? Nothing. Okay. We'll go down to... That's okay. Think about it. I'll come back. Harper, go ahead. A teacher. Awesome, just like mom. I'll come back up. Anybody else want to go? I know I might have caught you off guard over there. Anybody else? Let's see if I'm missing screens. I'll go back. I see nothing. Okay. So here's what I want you to do. I'm going to go ahead and mute yourselves back. And what I want you to do, if you get a chance, emailed out with the bulletin was also this handout that gets sent out for the kids to do stuff at home for the week. And so here's my plug for this, as well as directing those who have it to look at the section that says service on there. And the focus for that is Matthew 14:14b, which we put a letter B behind it to say it's the second part of that verse. And so it says, the crowds followed Jesus, and Jesus had compassion on them and cured the sick. And so I want to tell you about a friend of Pastor Mike's. His name is Dr. Ulysses Burley III. I posted something about him on our Facebook page. So parents, please go check the PLM Facebook page to get more information. And I'll write in the chat later on the website. But Ubi, his nickname to his friends, is an MD, so a medical doctor, and also has a degree in public health, so a master's in public health. And he is someone who is actually a lifelong Lutheran and someone who I listened to during this time in the pandemic. And growing up, he wasn't sure exactly what he was going to do, and then something happened in his life. And it showed him that God had called him into medicine. And so he went to Morehouse, and then he studied at Northwestern and got his degree in medicine, so he's an MD. And he also learned about public health. And he lives out his faith in this way through his website. Everybody calls him Ubi. Ubi the cause. The cure. Ubi the cure. And it's also a hashtag, Ubi the cure. But he says that he sees his life focused on these intersections of faith, health, and human rights. He has worked as part of the previous administration, presidential administration. He works for and has advised the International League of Churches. I think I got that name wrong, but there's a big body of all the churches all over the world that get together, and he has advised those leaders on matters of health, and all because his faith pushes him to live out this degree in medicine to show compassion for others and to care for others. And so, whether you want to be a teacher or a vet or even an astronaut, begin to think about those ways that your faith life can be lived into that thing you want to do. And so when you want to be a teacher, you want to be a faithful teacher to help your students learn as much as they can. Or if you're going to be a vet, you want to care for God's creation, the largest and even the smallest. And an astronaut to take us to places where we could never imagine we could ever go, trusting that God is leading us to see these new things. And so just remember, God puts on your heart what you might do in the future, and you're called to live that out and to care for God's creation to the fullest. Amen. All right. Again, I will post information so you can learn more about Ubi. I really want to direct parents to learn more about Ubi as a definite example of taking our vocation and living that out in a real faithful way. So I'm gonna remute that. Grace and peace to you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Did they really get it? And really, do we get it? Over these last weeks, we have had the parable of the mustard seed, this little tiny seed that grows into this abundant bush that's even called a tree. We've had the parable of the woman who takes yeast and three parts of flour and mixes them together to have abundance. The parable of the field where the man finds something in that field and sells everything to have what's in this field. The parable of the pearl where the man finds one pearl and gives up everything to gain this one pearl. The parable of the net, where the man throws the net into the water and pulls out an uncountable amount of fish when he wasn't sure if he was going to get any. And Jesus in Matthew 13:51 says, after saying all of these parables to his disciples, "Have you understood all of this?" And the disciples, I'm sure giddy and full of joy, look back at Jesus and go, "Yes! We get it!" I mean, we have seen other times before where the disciples are a little bit more honest, where they say, "Can you explain this a little bit further?" But Jesus has just given parable after parable about having something small and gaining abundance out of it through trusting in God and really focusing on that thing. And the disciples, after hearing all of these parables, just jump at an opportunity to tell Jesus they get it 100%. And so this instantly made me think about young offensive linemen. And so I've been teaching young offensive linemen for the better part of 2 decades. I, in one way, shape, or form, have interacted with young offensive linemen. It's a football position. I think I've been here long enough and have talked about football enough that even those people who don't know football know something about football now. And so what's really important with young offensive linemen is to teach them about their feet, and that their feet are always at a good distance apart, and that when they're moving, they're always moving their feet and not crossing them over themselves. Because it's really easy to be down in a football stance, which I'm not doing right now, but it's really easy to get out of that stance and cross your feet to get over to a position, be off balance, and fall. But inevitably, after hammering over and over and over again, keep your feet apart, step open into spaces. Inevitably, they all go, "Yes, coach, we got it. We've got it down." And within the first play, one of those young kids in high schoolers and even college kids will bound to try to move a little bit faster and get their feet too close and even step over, be off balance and fall right over, or get a little bump and fall right over. The disciples have crossed their legs and have fallen flat on the ground. Jesus, after hearing about John the Baptist's beheading, wants to take some time to himself. And so gets in a boat and goes across a lake to find a deserted place. But the people hear about Jesus going to this place, and so they get on their feet and start moving towards him. And these crowds are moving so fast that by the time Jesus makes land, they're already there. And so Jesus sees them and he has compassion on them. And he starts to heal their sick and care for them. But now it's starting to get late. And the disciples, who were always concerned about the optics of things and the larger picture that they think they're taking care of, go to Jesus and say, "We've only got enough food to really feed ourselves. I mean, we've got these 5 loaves and these 2 fish, and you need to send these people away. There's no way we're going to be able to feed everybody here." And I imagine that Jesus looked at them with utter disbelief. Disbelief that they had just said to him, Yes, we get all of these parables about abundance that you just taught us. We get them. And looked at them, and I imagine, while flaring his nose wide and blowing out a deep breath, said, "Bring that here to me." And after taking in another deep breath and flaring his nostrils again, looked over at the crowd and said, "Sit down." And in this internal monologue, saying to himself, "These guys said they get it and they didn't. And I'm going to show them again the abundance and the power of our Father in heaven." And so he has this basket and he takes the loaves and the fish and he looks up to heaven. And he begins to say a blessing over this food. He begins to break the bread into pieces. And he looks at his disciples, and their response is to simply start to feed the people. He doesn't say anything to them. He just hands this food to the disciples, and the disciples, I think, instantly realize they missed it. They missed all of those parables that Jesus had just taught them. And so as good disciples, they just began to do what the Master said. And really what the Master directed, because he just handed the food to them and they went out and started feeding the people. And after they had fed everyone there, 5,000 plus, because in this count, women and children aren't taken into account, but are fed. And they return with 12 baskets full of leftovers. 12 baskets full of leftovers. Do we really get it? Do we really get that there is this abundance for us? If we live into, lean into our life, and lean into our life, living closer to hearing the message of Christ to us. Now, don't hear this as some sort of cheap grace or prosperity gospel where you love Jesus enough and Jesus is going to take care of you. It is none of that. But that this abundance that we receive by hearing this message of Christ into our life to live in to our vocation, that more than pastors are called to share the word, that more than pastors are called to be active, but that, like my friend Yubi, in his job as a doctor, sees his faith life lived out, caring for others. That even if you're in this place in your life now where you might be in a nursing home and isolated, that there are ways for you to continue to connect to and live out your faith by reading the Word, as you are able, connecting, learning technology, so that you can see other people in this way. Having book studies through this technology to learn more about how we can make this world a better place. You are never, never in a time of your life where you can't live into the abundance that you gain through Christ. And so what does it mean for us to truly live out our vocation? Vocation, this word that's more than job. Vocation, that is this word that I think also ties in how our faith, how everything around us ties into what God has placed into us to make this world, to make our country, to make our town, to make our church a better place. This abundance of God's kingdom is us. This abundance of God's kingdom is us living out our faith in the world. It's how we engage in the world. It's how we care for those who currently might be a little less fortunate than we are. How we care for those who are in a place who need to hear a word of compassion. For those people who might be sick, and to hear a healing word from Christ. For those people who might be hungry, and from what we think is a little, we're able to all come together, blessed and broken, to go out and feed the masses. Brothers and sisters in Christ, do you get it now? Do you get that you are part of the abundance? You are part of the abundance that is the kingdom of heaven lived out in this world now. Live into that abundance. Find those places where you have been called and serve our Lord, trusting that the Holy Spirit will support you, will inspire you and strengthen you, and trusting that you're not at this alone, because this abundance is all of us. Christ's church inside the walls and outside. Amen.